It's not fair, right? Some years back, an anonymous dialogue circulated on the internet. It went like this, and this is, you know, geared towards parents. Whenever your children are out of control, you can take comfort from the thought that even God's omnipotence did not extend to his own children. After creating heaven and earth, God created Adam and Eve. And one of the first things God said was, don't. Don't what? Adam replied. Don't eat the forbidden fruit, God said. Forbidden fruit? We have forbidden fruit? Hey, Eve, we have forbidden fruit? No way, says Eve. Yes way, Adam replies. Do not eat the fruit, says God. Why? Adam and Eve respond together. Because I'm your father and I said so, replies God, wondering why he hadn't stopped creation after making the elephants. A few minutes later, God saw his children having an apple break. Didn't I tell you not to eat the fruit? God asked. Adam replied. Then why did you? Said the father. The serpent made me do it, said Eve. She started it, Adam said. Did not, did too, did not. Having had it with the two of them, God's punishment was that Adam and Eve should have their own children. Thus the pattern began. Now obviously none of our kids do that. Did not, did too, did not, did too. But it's not just kids, isn't it? Don't we do that as adults? It's not fair, we say. It's not fair. It goes all the way back to Genesis. Remember, Adam and Eve had two boys, well, Cain and Abel. They brought the offerings to God for some reason. Of course, God accepted Abel's offering, but not Cain's. That's not fair. Cain thought in his heart, and his resulting anger was the source of humanity's first murder. We hear it not only by among our children, but we adults say the same. It's not fair. It's not fair. I'm not going to ask if any of you have ever experienced inequality in the workplace. Would you believe that in some workplaces, well, as you know, people are paid more than the other, even though they may actually work less? Jesus shares this parable. Again, the question is, you know, what is God's kingdom like? What is God like? And here, Jesus tells a story to kind of help us understand God's kingdom. Jesus says, there is a landowner who went out early in the morning. You know, he needed some workers. It was fall time, his grapes need to be harvested. So he goes early to the marketplace. As you know, the agora, you go in the city, in the village, or city, a village, you go there, and in the marketplace are those who are waiting, persons waiting for work. So in those days, the farmer would go to town and pick his workers, for the day. The work was hard. Working hours were from dawn to sunset. In the Mediterranean country means a 12-hour day. 12-hour day, 6 to 6. The wages was a standard 1 denarius or a silver coin. One coin, okay. A denarius was not only the average daily wage for a worker, but it was also the average cost of surviving per day for a family, a poor family. It didn't allow any room to maneuver. A denarius would buy your family what they needed to stay alive. No more, no less, for the day. So a day's work and a full day's wage were essential. Essential for survival. So keeping that in mind, just picture what Jesus is sharing. You know, just painting this picture to his contemporaries to share what God's kingdom is like. So this farmer needs to harvest. You know, time's up. The weatherman has said it's going to be a great day. Okay. But as you know, at about 10 o'clock, you know, the clouds start coming in. And you look and say, didn't he say it's going to be a sunny day? There it is. 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, beautiful day. So he goes, you know, he hires a group of strong men, cream of the crop. And at 9 o'clock, he's looking at his field and thinking, maybe I need more people. Okay, so he goes back, you know, hires another group of people at 9 o'clock, comes back, they're working. Then at noontime, he's thinking, boy, you know, they've only done, you know, that much. And boy, clouds are pouring in there. It might start raining. I better get this done today. I've got to get this work done. So he goes at noon, hires more people. And as the scripture was read, if you listened, he makes a deal with each one of them. You know, I will pay you the day's wage, right? I will pay you the day's wage. So they agree. They agree. All these persons at these different times agree. And then finally, here it is almost closing time. 5 o'clock. The owner looks around and thinks, boy, you know, I wish I could go and hire some more folks. You know, I need to get this done. His goal is to get this whole field completed by the end of the day. So he runs back to the marketplace, and there are some folks still waiting. So he goes, hires them, brings them back, brings them to the workplace. I mean, he promises, I'll pay you the day's wage. And then when the closing time comes, let's say 6 o'clock, he tells his servants to go and, you know, pay these folks. So they start with the 5 o'clock folks. And they pay them the full denarius. And here are the 5 o'clock folks, they're thinking, wow. You know, they had assumed that it'll be much less than a full day's wage, but they are like jumping up and down saying, hey, you know, we got a whole day's pay. And the other guys in the line are kind of like wondering, what's going on? What's this big commotion? And then they hear that, oh, these guys who just came at 5 o'clock were paid a full day's wage. And they're going, oh, okay, well, maybe we'll get double or bonus. You know, bonus? Yeah. We might get a bonus this year. All right. So when they get in line and they get paid, it's only a denarius. You know, the same denarius as this guy's who came at 5 o'clock had gotten, and these guys who came at 6 in the morning are upset. They're saying, we worked all day. How can this be? They were grumbling. It's not fair. Does it sound? Don't we look at our neighbors and go, it's not fair. It's not fair. But the landowner answers, and let me read that little passage. I am not being unfair to you, my friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am so generous? And then Jesus ends that parable by saying, so the last will be first, and the first will be last. Wow. Do we picture ourselves in this parable? Do we? For another good example would be the thief on the cross. Boy, I've heard people, you know, we've talked about that. I've heard people say, boy, you know, that's not fair. This guy did everything in the world, hurt people, or whatever he did, he was sentenced to death. And at the last minute, he turns around and asks Jesus to forgive him, and he's done. Man, Jesus says, you'll be with me in paradise today. Unfair, isn't it? It's not fair. Well, preachers, you know, I mean, here we are, preaching every Sunday, leading the congregation, teachers, Sunday school teachers, those of you who toil and work for the Lord. And then there are those who get in at the last minute. And the pastor would get to their pearly gates and go, how come? You know, I've toiled all my life. How did this person get in? Do you see God's generosity? Do you see God's math? The way God looks at things? It's totally different, isn't it? I mean, that picture was nice. I mean, that's how we are, aren't we? I mean, we're like children when it comes to understanding how God looks at us. God's generosity. God pours out his grace full and complete on all. We who have labored in the vineyard as Christians for most of our lives would like to think that we will get an extra measure of grace in the return for our many years of service, but God sees the whole picture. God is gracious. God will make us be satisfied. You know, even as a nation, I look at, you know, if you've traveled around the world, if you've seen the poverty of the world, and you come back to the United States, you would know what I'm talking about. You would first and foremost ask, why are we so blessed? Why? Why are we so blessed? People from other nations, when they do the same tour, they come and tour the U.S. and they go back and they go, man, why are they so blessed? My friends, God is gracious. God has been gracious to us. I don't know why, but God is so gracious, has been gracious to us, has been gracious to our nation, has been gracious to you. Think about this. You know, where do we fit in? Where do we fit in? You know, the landowner first comes at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, he picks the cream of the crop. I mean, he looks at those men, just picture with me, strong, able to do the work, whatever, you know, if it's construction, guys with muscles. He's picked the cream of the crop, you know, and then 8 o'clock, 9, you know, it goes down. You know, he looks at those people, they're kind of lethargic and drinking coffee. He might have said, well, they might be taking a break all day, so leave them alone. But look at the very end here. At 5 o'clock, I mean, the cream of the crop is gone. These are folks just kind of idling. I mean, they're just there. No great gifts, nothing to show. But the landowner is so gracious. He picks those people, takes to his field, they work just an hour, and they get paid a full day's of wages. I kind of fall in that category. You know, we're not this great people, but God is so gracious, isn't he? He picks us. The world looks at us and goes, don't hire him. Nope. Do away. Don't hire those folks. But God is so gracious. God picks us, the least, the lost, picks us and says, you are special. I found you, I formed you, I knew you even before the foundations of this world. I want you. I want a relationship with you. I mean, forget about the cream of the crop. I mean, yeah, there might be some of you. Great. But God came to pick us and accepted us, gave us a place. And do you feel blessed? Do you feel blessed? Do you feel that you're not good enough for God's love? You know, God kind of misses you and goes, picks somebody else or does things with other people. Look at all the gifts other people have. I mean, we hear this, don't we? Oh, he's got a great gift. Those people have great, wonderful gifts. Me, oh no, I have nothing to offer. But God, with his graciousness, he picks us. He picks us and gives us an opportunity, gives us his blessing.
makes us beautiful,
shapes us, yes, prunes us,
gives us a life that is pleasing. So my friends, as we gather this morning, as we might put ourselves in different places, God is calling each one of us. We don't have to be the cream of the crop.
His field is ready for harvest.
His field is ready for harvest. It is time. It is quitting time. He needs you and me. And he comes in that last round, 5 o'clock. And the blessing is the same. Same blessing.
Just like Moses and Elijah and, I mean, you name it. You know, all those Mother Teresa, Advent, contemporary ones as well.
And you might think, boy, you know, I'm not worthy, but it is God's grace, His grace. You don't have to earn it. It is free. All we need to do is say, yes, Lord. Yes, take me, use me. I'm willing. A willing heart is all that God needs.
As you come this morning, as you give Him your heart,
give yourself to Him. He will take you. He will take us. He will take us as a church.
Again, even as we come tonight, you know, we are trying to gather us, connect us. You don't have to be so gifted and such an able person.
No, we're just inviting you to come.
You don't have to have a special gift. You know, somebody said the other day, oh, are we looking for like a gift, gifted people?
No.
We're just looking for all of us, the way we are.
Are we ready as a congregation to take that next step?
You know, the time has come.
Are we willing to say, yes, Lord?
I will join your crew. I will join your team.
I will be part of the mission and ministry of this church. Are you willing?
Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your call.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Amazing grace. Amazing grace.
Lord, we do not deserve a full day's of wage when we have not done anything.
But Lord, you're so gracious to extend that grace, extend that your grace of giftedness and everything that you poured out on all the patriarchs and the matriarchs in the Bible,
and even our contemporary folks that we look up to as matriarchs and patriarchs
in our faith. Lord, we do not have those gifts and talents, and Lord, we feel like we are nothing, but you extend your grace to us, simple folks here in Springville and the surroundings. You call us as a church. We're not a mega church that's doing so many great things in their neighborhood. But Lord, we are obedient. We are humble. We're taking the next step in our journey to give ourselves to you so that you may bless us, you may lead us, you may guide us to what it is that you have for us to receive and be blessed. And so, Lord, may you lead us, may you bless us as we open our hearts and our mind, our souls to you. Commit our lives, receive your forgiveness, and take that next step. Lord, we know that we will be blessed so we can bless others
In Jesus' name, amen.